Your guide to Merseyside sport. The kickoff.
Radio City Talk.
The end of season event at the O2 Arena, the ATP Finals. Has it got a place in Barry Cowan's heart?
Boy, I'd love for it.
It's got a bit of glamour and glitz about it, hasn't it?
You shot me with the question. It's 90 years being in London, and it's totally different to Wimbledon. So anyone that's been to Wimbledon and then been to the World Tour Finals, it's two totally different presentations of a tennis tournament. I think Wimbledon's certainly got its place. Nothing will ever replicate, for me, Wimbledon being the best. But in terms of a venue, I mean, I've actually never been to the O2 for a concert or a boxing fight, but anyone that has said it's also amazing to go and see that. So, yeah. Long may it continue.
Yeah, it's tennis presented in a completely different manner, isn't it, for people who haven't been along to it?
Which is important, because it is also a show. I mean, you know, as I said, if you compare the two with Wimbledon is also a show, but in a different way. It's a subtle way. But, the O2, Razzmatazz, I love where all the crowd are dark, and then the two players on the court, it's all in lights. And, when the lights are obviously on for Federer. Unfortunately, they're not for Rafa.
He had a tough time, didn't he, last night? Perhaps people didn't expect it. Maybe some did, because, of course, he has suffered from injuries. But Rafa Nadal pulling out of the finals and ending his season in defeat, because David Goffin was the man who came through last night. But it's a shame, really, given what Rafa's achieved in the past 12 months.
It is a pity, and it's still remarkable. What an amazing champion he is. He's never won the World Tour Finals. In fact, he's only ever won one indoor hardcourt title. You know, this is a guy who's been able to win US Opens on hard. But I think really what it shows is that the way he plays, his whole year, not necessarily at the beginning of each season, he'll say, right, I must put all my focuses into winning the French Open, dominating the clay court season. But I think that's how it sort of evolves. He feels under pressure, rightly so, because whenever you've dominated a sport, or when you've dominated something for so long, everyone expects you to be the same the following year. So that brings added stresses and strains. And that kind of follows a similar path, really, with Rafa. Up until June, he is unbelievable. And then injuries can affect his season, or loss of form, or loss of confidence. And that's kind of how it's been, really. He obviously played brilliantly at the US Open. And then after the US Open, went straight, did the Laver Cup. I don't know if you watched that. That was an exhibition event, which looking back now in hindsight, was the wrong decision, because he had very little time off after New York. Then he also went to Beijing and Shanghai, and then that's where we first saw the problems. Whenever Rafa comes out to play and he's got strapping around his knee, you know that not all is well. Mm. However, there will be some say, well, is that the end of Rafa? No, it's not, because Rafa's had this knee a lot of times over the years, and he knows what to do in his rehab. He knows what to do to get back. And I've consistently said the first thing that will go with Rafa is his will. His will to fight, his will to compete. And even though he lost the match last night, I mean, it was extraordinary. I mean, anyone who watched it put themselves in Rafa's position, knowing already that you that's it, you're not going to play another match, to still have the will to win from when you know that your tournament's done, and the energy, incredible.
It's the fight, isn't it?
It is the fight. I was actually asked last week, you know, who is the best competitor in tennis, and the person who asked the question, you know, heavily said, well, it's got to be Rafa. And I said, well, yes, but I don't think we should underestimate Federer's competitive spirit. But I think last night, I think the guy I had the conversation was right, because I'm not so sure anyone could have put in that effort knowing their tournament was done. Four match points and the way he saved it as well.
I sometimes think with Rafa as well, he's been given a second chance, and almost he wants to grab that second chance harder than ever, given the injuries he's had.
You know, I'm not so sure I necessarily share that. I just think he has great morals. Obviously, I think with very much it is about the family. Very much is about being together, sharing the moment. He just has this. Whenever he's out there, he gives his very best, and I think an unbelievable role model. And he's happy. I mean, even world number one, he's taken the batterings over players who are nowhere near in his league. He just shakes their hand, says no good, no excuses. It's not. You know, he won't blame the injury as an issue for necessarily if he loses a match or a big match. I mean, Wimbledon, he suffered some pretty embarrassing losses there, but there's no excuses. And if you ever had junior players that you wanted someone to copy in terms of just their attitude, you couldn't go too far wrong than Rafa being your idol.
The template that Roger Federer set down in the past 12 months in terms of having a rest and backing away from certain tournaments to make sure he's prepared in the longer run for the bigger events, is that something that will spread amongst the top players within the game? Will you see a lot more of that? We saw how it's helped Roger.
It's not. Just because that's what Roger did doesn't mean that's the right way. And you've got to understand your own strengths and weaknesses, and that's what Roger's done. Apart from the blip, he made a big error in playing Montreal so soon after Wimbledon, and it's ironic actually that the reason he played that was because he wanted to end the year number one. And actually, if he hadn't played that tournament, I think he might have ended the year number one. And the reason I say that is because it cost him the US Open, because his back. He hadn't, unlike Wimbledon, where he prepared 100% for Wimbledon and he was 100% ready, he hadn't prepared properly for Montreal. It was so soon after Wimbledon. He'd just come after a holiday and he hurt his back again in the final against Zverev, which then meant that he didn't have the recovery. He then couldn't put in the work, the necessary work for the stresses and strains of 2 weeks at the US Open, and it cost him. And that's why, in my mind, he lost early, and if he had been fit, who knows? He might have won the US Open to go along with Wimbledon and the Australian Open. But that's what it is. You can never forecast what's going to happen further down the line. But what Roger has above all done, and he said this in the interview with that we did on Sky for the tournament. He says, "I learned from my mistakes." He said, "I won't make the same mistake," and that's why he didn't play Paris leading into the World Tour Finals. People, you know, the tournament director was Guy Forger, who was very upset, probably annoyed that Roger wasn't playing. It was, well, my target was the O2. And now, obviously, with Rafa pulling out, I mean, he's the overwhelming favourite. I actually only see one person beating potentially to stop him, Roger, win it, and that's Zverev, who, ironically, he plays tonight in the round-robin stages.
Yeah, that's 8 p.m. tonight. There's a number of names, isn't there, in this ATP Tour Finals that probably wouldn't have expected to be there, and it probably offers them a different opportunity, different glimpse, even if they're probably not going to win the whole thing. It's a different stage for them.
It is, and we're very much in the sport, and the one thing that keeps constantly coming out is what's going to happen to tennis when the big four move on, which they will, and none of us know when. You know, none of us. I mean, Federer could be around, could be finished the middle of next year. Could be around for another 5 years. None of us can forecast that. But you're exactly right. And I often say it's very much like a football team. You know, and you look, a football team can be dominant, and you think, well, how are we going to cope? How are we going to cope if we have a couple of injuries? But it's amazing how when few people pass, always some others emerge because. Mm. They get the chance to win big titles, and whenever you win big titles, you always grow as people. You always grow as competitors. And Zverev might be absolutely one of those. I expect great things for him. I think he has the personality that can carry the sport. You know, and there's others as well that have a chance. I mean, they had the next gen finals last week. I don't know if you caught any of that, but different rules. And there'll be some players in there in that 8-man field last week. There'll be winning slams in the next, you know, who knows, 2-3 years. Shapovalov, the Canadian, would definitely be one of those. He's got everything in his personality in tennis that he can really be a full force But, you know, as things stand at the moment, it is that, you know, the top eight is not as strong as it has been. I don't think anyone can gloss it over and say, well, yes, it is. It isn't. But who knows what can happen in the next 2 or 3 years. They can certainly improve and develop.
So Roger Federer, you expect to win this. Rafa Nadal is the world number one. But for Roger to win this himself, does that make it even more important for himself?
Yes, I think it does. I think that it's something that he said at the beginning of the year, I want to be fit for Wimbledon and I want to qualify for the World Tour Finals. And it was kind of interesting, really, because it wasn't really specific goal, I want to win Wimbledon or I want to win the World Tour Finals. It's probably more a case, well, if I'm fit for Wimbledon, I've got a chance of winning Wimbledon. And if I'm fit for the World Tour Finals, I've got a chance to win the World Tour Finals. And why would you see it any other way when he is, you know, head and shoulders at the moment the best player on a quicker hard court? I mean, he's absolutely shown that in 2017. I mean, the matches he's beaten Rafa, he's dominated Rafa in. So he has definitely, he's benefited from, you know, two factors. For me, he's playing the best tennis he's ever played because he's playing a brand of tennis that no one else currently plays, where he comes forward, he rushes players. And obviously on the other flip side of it, potentially the other players that could cause him trouble, i.e. Djokovic, he's been nowhere to be seen. But that could change next year. And Djokovic could come back and, you know, all of a sudden, in 12 months' time, we could be saying, well, Djokovic is the dominant force.
You just never know. Brilliant stuff, Barry. A trip to Anfield on the cards yet?
Hoping so. Yeah. My season's done. My season's done at the end of this week. Unfortunately, I can't make the Southampton game because I'm still working. But, yeah, definitely.
There's a Chelsea game and a derby on the horizon.
Yeah, well, I'm positive, actually, and I don't share all this doom and gloom. Actually, the other week I was driving home, just finished, I think we're doing Paris, just finishing driving home. So two managers under huge pressure playing each other, Bilic and Klopp. Utterly ridiculous.
It's madness, isn't it?
It's totally madness. I mean, and I know anyone who's a cop eyed, and Everton will probably the same thing. Oh, well, I wish we could have done better. Wish we could do, but that you could say that in everything. But just because we're, what are we, 4 points behind Tottenham?
Yeah, the gap's virtually nothing, is it?
No, it's nothing. I still stick with what I said at the beginning of the season. I still think we'll finish above United.
Brave man, Barry Cowan. Thank you very much.
Cheers. Take
What's
care,
up, man. Take care.
Your guide to Merseyside sport. The kickoff.
Radio City Talk.